This is a podcast from BFM 89.9, the business station.
7:48 a.m., you're listening to The Morning Run with Shazana Shauning and Philip. Now, on Sunday, New Zealand's ruling Labour Party selected former COVID minister Chris Hipkins to replace Jacinda Ardern as its new leader and the next prime minister. His appointment comes after Jacinda Ardern announced her surprise resignation last week. Ardern said she no longer had enough in the tank to do the job justice.
When elected in 2017, Ardern was the world's youngest female head of government at the age of 37. During her six-year reign, she steered the nation through several crises, including the pandemic, the Christchurch mosque shootings, and the White Island volcanic eruptions.
She was re-elected for a second term in 2020 by delivering the biggest election victory for her Labour Party, forming the single party government in decades. Now, what legacy will Ardern leave behind? And will the tide turn for the ruling party this October when New Zealand goes to the polls?
For reflections and analysis, we speak to Grant Duncan, Associate Professor at Massey University. Good morning, Grant. Thanks very much for joining us. Now, how surprised were you by Jacinda Ardern's announcement that she will step down as Prime Minister and not seek re-election?
Well, on the day it was a surprise, but it's something that really came up back in 2021 when the Labour Party changed its rules for electing a new leader. And a number of us at that time speculated that this could be a precursor to Jacinda standing down and smoothing the path to re-election of a new leader. So, in a way, not a surprise, but yes, on the day it did come as a surprise.
She's become, though, increasingly unpopular, isn't it? And even her Labour Party has also seen a dip in popularity ratings. Do you think that's also part of the reason why she's exiting?
Oh, yes, I think no doubt that Jacinda would have thought what's in the best interests of the Labour Party in political and electoral terms. She's very much a team player like that. And, you know, you just outlined some of the reasons for the huge positive reputation that she has internationally. But in terms of the domestic politics in New Zealand, the success in dealing with the pandemic did come with a human social cost for many people, and therefore there were political costs as well. And a lot of the dissatisfaction that many New Zealanders were feeling became personalised or associated with Jacinda Ardern. The Labour Party's polling had declined to around the low 30s, and it was looking like there could be a change of government in October.
And how do you think Jacinda Ardern will be remembered as a Prime Minister? What do you think her enduring legacy will be?
Well, I think once the dust settles and we start to look back historically, Jacinda Ardern will be regarded as one of New Zealand's greatest prime ministers, for sure. I think probably there's never been a prime minister of New Zealand who's attracted so much international attention. I've no doubt that Jacinda will go on to have a really important career. I'm not quite sure where, but I'm sure she has a great future ahead of her, and we haven't seen the last of her by any means. So, yeah, I'm sure that she will be remembered as one of New Zealand's greatest prime ministers.
So we know that her successor, Chris Hipkins, he's been voted to replace Ardern. What do we know about him, and how is he regarded by the public?
Well, Chris Hipkins is quite well known to the public in New Zealand, particularly because during the COVID-19 pandemic, he really was one of the key ministers who saw through the government's program. He had really important portfolios in health and education. And you can imagine that, you know, as education minister, he was having to do a lot for families to help people keep their children's education going while they were at home. And so things like that. Now, in health and later on in the police portfolio, which he picked up, he was really a guy who Jacinda was turning to pick up portfolios where previous ministers had not been performing very well. And so he comes across as a kind of Mr. Fix-It, so to speak. He's very clear, very competent, and very hardworking. And I think, you know, in those roles, he had a fairly high profile in New Zealand during the last few years.
But I gather his personality is very different from Jacinda Ardern. But is his political outlook similar?
Yeah, really good point. He is quite a different person. But if we go back to 2008, that was the year that both Chris Hipkins and Jacinda Ardern first entered Parliament. And if we go back and listen to their maiden speeches in the House, we get a sense of who they are, politically speaking, and very similar solid social democratic values were expressed by both of them at that time. They used different language, perhaps, but Chris, for example, talked about a compassionate society and wanting to ensure that everyone starts life with great opportunities and those sorts of core social democratic values. Neither of them is particularly radical, and so both of them were friends at that time, and I think very much they see eye to eye in terms of political ideologies, but yes, they're different personalities for sure.
New Zealanders head to the polls later this year in October. Do you see this new leadership reinvigorating Labour's poor polls?
Well, possibly. I mean, obviously the immediate reaction would be to think that Jacinda's departure would be bad news for Labour. If the Labour Party can handle this well, it could be a positive thing for them. It remains to be seen. But it's not just about leadership, because a lot of the dissatisfaction with the Labour government at the moment has to do with economics, with the economic problems that families are facing, rising cost of living, higher interest rates in particular. And so there's that economic stress, but also there were some particular policies that were being pushed through by Labour that are causing controversy at the moment. And Jacinda and Chris Hipkins have both mentioned now that Labour will be re-looking at some of those policies. Chris Hipkins has been talking very much, using the phrase bread and butter, an awful lot to say that he wants to listen to and do something about the actual economic stress that households are facing. So it's those sorts of really nuts and bolts issues that Labour's got to address over the next 8 months before the election.
Now, it's very likely, from what I read, that Christopher Luxon is most likely to be Hipkins' opponent on this October 14 elections. What do we know about him?
Christopher Luxon took over the National Party leadership in November 2021. The National Party had gone through a number of leadership changes and was not polling very well. What was noticeable right from the beginning of 2022 was that Nationals polling rose quite significantly under his leadership. But on the other hand, in the preferred prime minister polls, Luxon was coming second behind Ardern, so he wasn't really having an impact at a personal personal leadership point of view that the National Party might have wanted. So National is now ahead of Labour in the polls, but I guess it could be said that Christopher Luxon, although he's a very competent person, is not really having a huge effect personally on the New Zealand public.
But the concern we have in New Zealand is that you will end up having coalition politics with many of the fringe parties, perhaps, you know, calling the shots a bit with New Zealand First and even the Green Party to a certain extent. Do you expect coalition politics to dominate end of this year after the polls?
Yes, I'm sure that there will be a coalition of some kind. Hard to tell exactly what it will be. And you've mentioned New Zealand First there, and it is possible that New Zealand First could make it back if they can get over the 5% party vote threshold. That is a possibility. So most likely we'll have either a Labour-Green coalition or a National ACT coalition. The ACT party is a right-wing libertarian party, and they've been polling reasonably well lately. Whether there will be another third party in the middle remains to be seen. The Māori party could play a role, but yes, coalition politics can be a little bit complicated sometimes in New Zealand, and on election night on the 14th of October, I wouldn't necessarily guarantee that we would know exactly who the next Prime Minister is going to be.
Grant, thank you very much for speaking with us. That was Grant Duncan, Associate Professor at Massey University, giving us some analysis on Jacinda Ardern's resignation, her successor, Chris Hipkins, as well as expectations for the polls in October, how coalition politics could play out. And as he said, and as we've seen also on our local front, it can be a drawn-out process, really, to come up to the next government.
Yeah, for sure. Will they take 5 days like us or longer? But what's interesting data coming out of New Zealand is inflation. 7.2%, right? I think this is why, whether it's the National or Labour Party, the focus is really going to be on bread and butter issues, right? Because inflation is really impacting the local residents in terms of, you know, what they can spend. And as you know, New Zealand is a net energy importer. So I think they really feel it when it comes to high fuel prices.
So I think her credibility or her track record will be under scrutiny. I think kudos to her, though, for stepping down now in January to give, you know, some succession time to prepare themselves for the October polls. Because you want, I think, that runway for people to prepare themselves and to make their case to the public.
That's right. So it's going to be interesting to see how this plays out over the next 8 months.
Yeah, I think one thing to remember her by is her empathic style, right? She was a leader that seemed to resonate with everyone. When there was a crisis, she did reach out. And I think it made a lot of difference, especially during the 2-3 years that we all had to endure during COVID-19.
All right, it is 7:59 in the morning. We're heading into the 8 a.m. news bulletin. And then after that, on the Breakfast Grill, Philip C. speaks to Lulu Chen on 10 Cent. Stay tuned to BFM 89.9.
You have been listening to a podcast from BFM 89.9, the business station. For more stories of the same kind, download the BFM app.